DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
I met Travis before. We was it prison?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was catching.
C block.
Yeah, but you were a hell of a welcoming committee. That's all I really cared
about.
First day, it's like you're nervous. You get the butterflies in your stomach and the boot prints on your back.
I'll be Julie, your director.
Very tender rapist. Very tender.
People around her here call me Vicky.
I warned you, Susan.
And that's how we're starting the show with I warned you, Susan.
Slowly I turn, step by step.
Yes!
Niagara Falls!
I can feel a dank heat on my backside. Sorry.
And that's what we're calling the episode.
Dank heat?
Dank heat on my backside.
I feel a dank heat.
Makes me happy. And other John Denver too.
New from KTEL.
Inquirer, what's new?
Well, I was just going to point out the fact that do we all understand that there's a generation of people, kids, that have no idea about the Three Stooges and don't understand like Niagara Falls or, you know, shit like that. And a lot of that has just been lost to the annals of time.
It is pretty fucking sad, really.
Well, essentially, isn't their generation's Three Stooges Jackass?
Yeah, okay.
All right, Gary. But at the same time, there was something wonderful in the stupidity of the Stooges because they were being absurdly stupid, but with a purpose. Jackass was just, how many times can we kick Steve-O in the balls and shave the back of his head without him knowing?
Basically, the difference is just a story. Stooges always had a story. Jackass is just Stooges without the story.
Pretty much.
And then turned up to 11.
Well, and heroin.
Well, some of us watched
Did you say and heroin?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Some of us watched the Stooges for the plot, so.
I watch it for the deep emotional connection I feel with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just feel like getting poked in both your eyes, you know? Just saying. That hits me here, right at my center, right in my core.
Right in your eyes.
Right in your eyes. I mean, right in the fucking middle.
It was a different time, right?
Right where in a the man eyes heart.
Where a man could hit another man in the face with a tree saw, you know, and it'd be okay. Like they'd be upset, but their problems, you know, they'd squash them.
You could smack your friend with a mallet and everything was fine. There was no worries.
Unless it was Mo, in which case
there was no worries of lawsuits. Smack you back.
I mean, that was true friendship then.
Yeah.
And when you did smack your friend with a hammer, it sounded like a coconut. So, I mean, it was funny.
And you only went to prison for a little while. It was no big deal.
Yeah.
You were usually out before you could feel the dank heat.
And you got a really cool matching striped suit.
Yeah. Best part.
Thoughts?
Well, yeah. Isn't the Hangover the modern day Three Stooges?
Kind of.
Oh, man.
Kind of.
Yeah, except without the slapping.
Really? There's slapping in that.
Yeah,
is there? Mike Tyson?
It's been a minute since I've watched it.
Yeah.
But did you die?
From a trunk of a car and hits another dude with a shovel.
Yeah.
Mike fucking Tyson?
Yeah. It's the modern day Three Stooges.
There's Mike Tyson.
There were three of them.
In yeah. time with
four if you count.
Yeah, the guy who went missing.
Well, yeah, but at this first run, I mean, it was the core three. Mm-hmm. And you had your Curly, who was, you know, clearly our, Galifianakis. He was definitely the Curly because he was.
Oh my God, they just refed us three Stooges.
Mo was.
Just with a lot more drinking. Yeah, so that means.
Mo.
That means your favorite person in the world, Black. Travis, Bradley Cooper, is Mo.
Yep.
Fuck.
That tracks. That actually tracks very much.
Rinse, repeat, cash a fucking check. Put more hookers and blow and booze and blackout drunkenness and Las Vegas in the mix, and you have a brand new version of Three Stooges. That's the only difference.
Did anyone, Mike Tyson. See the Three Stooges movie they made a few years ago?
With Will Sasso?
I did not.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was nice.
Huh.
It put in effort. Was it perfect? No.
I have not seen it at all. I didn't even know if it made it to theaters or not. I know they made it.
Yeah.
It was actually really good. I liked it.
Larry was amazing.
I'm a fan of the old school Three Stooges, and they basically just pandered to the fans of Three Stooges. Trying to make the story somewhat new, but honestly, it was the same shit. It matches me. Just for you. Yeah, go with it. Movie. So I have YouTube running in the background so my computer doesn't go to sleep, so I can stay plugged in and stare at your beautiful faces for the, you know, long benounced amount of time that we spend talking about random nothing. But while it was going, we were watching Everything Wrong with Just Go With It in 18 minutes or less, and Dave Matthews is apparently on the movie, and
it's pissing Travis off
greatly. Excessively.
Travis, tell me how you feel about Dave Matthews.
He's triggered.
Dave Matthews is the American Nickelback. Can I say that?
I believe you just did. And
is
I think
fair?
That tracks.
Yeah.
I think it tracks. That is fair.
Thank you. Nickelback.
The break between
every Dave Matthews song ever. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Matthew Box.
Could you get closer to the mic so there's more clarity?
No, we want it that way. We want it to sound like hot garbage on fire in the middle of summer.
No, it'll still sound like that, just louder.
Dave Matthews.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Now with, was it 30% less violin?
Yeah.
The new album from Dave Matthews, 2020 Dumpster Fire.
It's just a great
album.
If we get a Dave Matthews Nickelback a compilation song, then you know 2020 has done its worst.
True. Now, I had something though, along the lines of the Stooges that I wanted to bring up. It was something that I was discussing with my buddy Don, and we were talking about
Don Frost of the Big and Loud podcast.
Well, Don, yes.
Nice shameful plug there, James. Nice, nicely
done. The very same.
You know, I'll help out another podcast.
Word.
But no, we were talking about the Jerky Boys and foam pranks and shit that we had pulled as kids. Because essentially what Jerky Boys were, in my opinion, my two cents, were the first trolls, essentially. Injecting themselves into something that they don't have any need to do so, just to cause chaos. But they did it fucking hilariously. Your thoughts?
It's been a long time.
Thanks, appreciate
the Jerky
it.
Boys.
Well,
remember much?
I was never really into the Jerky Boys.
Did you ever make phone pranks?
Oh, yes, but I actually have a friend who was a master at it, and I would be glad to share some of the stories because it was genius. But no, Jerky Boys and subsequently Crank Yankers, I never got into.
I watched Crank Yankers.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things where I liked prank phone calls because I felt like I was just messing with somebody's day to some degree. And again, when you're a kid, you're an asshole. Like, at your core, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Not because you're trying to be, but just by natural happenstance. What you find funny is being an asshole. Because what we used to do was we used to call cab companies and have all these cabs go out to this one empty vacant parking lot at the mall after hours at like 12 o'clock at night. Now, we're catching some of these guys who are independent business owners, didn't know this at the time, driving out in the middle of the night waiting around for these assholes who are supposed to be standing next to a payphone that ain't there.
Oh, now, you're an asshole.
Did we ever validate how many people actually went out? No. Because we were doing it from my fucking cousin's house. Being assholes. But that's how you do. And it was fucking hilarious to us.
Ruining small businesses.
I remember calling up a random guy, and it was a random number out of the phone book. And my cousin decided he was going to pretend to be a tiny child. And now, mind you, this is like 1 a.m. in the morning. And it was a local...
Not a big child? Not a big child?
No. He just started going, child? Grandpa, is that you? And the guy on the other end of the phone, we're listening in, trying to... And the guy on the other end's like, yeah, what's up, buddy? How you doing? Grandpa, I had a bad dream. Oh, okay, well, I'm here. I'm talking... And dude's fucking exhausted. And you can tell. Yeah. And again, we're fucking his day. Now, I don't know how old this dude was, but clearly old enough to think his grandson might actually be calling. So we basically had this poor bastard up at 1 a.m. for a good half an hour talking down his imaginary grandson from a bad dream and then finally letting him go back to bed at about 1:30. Now, dude's probably going to get up at 6 a.m. Again, we thought it was fucking hilarious that dude was rolling with it and he was buying it. But again, asshole. That's all we were. We were assholes.
No, I can beat that.
You're an adult that's developing asshole first. That's what it is.
Yes,
asshole. That's what we were assholes.
Number one, we weren't kids. We were in our early 20s.
Oh, no excuse. Yeah, no excuse.
There's no excuse. I'm not even going to apologize for it because this was fucking asshole. Now I'm going to give you two stories.
Names will not be changed because fuck the guilty.
I'm throwing everyone to the wolf. So okay. So my buddy must have been a fan of the Jerky Boys because he was really good at this. So we're bored one night. I'm in my first apartment, and we're sitting around. We're bored. It's like getting close to 1 a.m. My buddy goes, "Where's your phone book?" "It's over there." "Why?" And he just starts flipping through it till he finds the most Mexican-sounding name he can find.
Oh.
Now, I can't remember the exact name, so I'm just going to use a generic one, so please forgive me.
Jose Mixed Stereotype.
I was going to say a generic Juan.
So
yeah, Juan generic name.
He calls the number.
Generic.
And it rings, and finally this guy answers. And my buddy is just, "Hey, Juan, buddy, how's it going?" And this guy's like, "It's no Juan." And it's just, "Oh, Juan, you can't fool me. I know you, you bastard. How you been?" And keeps this guy on the phone for 15 minutes. And when the guy finally hangs up, my buddy calls him right back. "Hey, man, we got disconnected. I've got so much to tell you." And just kept going back to this guy for an hour.
You're an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the same name every time, or did you change names?
No.
Oh, no, you said, okay, no, never mind.
It's the same number. He just hit redial. And he was a master at whatever the *68 or whatever was, so they couldn't call us back. Whatever. No, *69 was redial, whatever the.
Yeah.
So, do you guys remember they had those dating call? Like, you call this number, and it's like a party line, and you can meet people.
Oh, yeah.
He would go all over town to different payphones and get free time because for girls could always call free, but men had to, they would get like a half an hour and then you'd have to pay. But if you go to different numbers and you get the code, you get a lot more time. So he would come to my house with a list of codes so we could talk to girls all the time. Well, then he got really bored with that because, well, couldn't make anything happen with the girls. So
there wasn't usually many girls on there in my experience.
No, not a lot.
It was almost always all dudes.
Yeah. And that, Jim, is the crux of this story.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Because my buddy could do an amazing sounding female voice over the phone.
Oh, that's disturbing.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Not quite.
All right, Fluffy.
Not quite.
So, what do you do with it?
So we'd sit on the phone, and he would just talk himself up like he is the sexiest, hottest girl. And these guys are so desperate. They're just, we're stacking up messages, and we're going through. So one Saturday afternoon, we're bored. He jumps on the line and goes, do you want to take part in a social experiment?
Oh, dear God.
Okay. So we live just off of Powell Boulevard. And there was, most of you guys know where the Safeway is on Powell. So that little kind of shopping center right next to it on 39th and Powell, or I'm sorry, Cesar Chavez and
Powell. Yeah, where Blockbuster used to be. And-
Yeah. So we get on and we spent about an hour.
I remember Blockbuster.
Responding to different guys and setting them up for a meet. Come meet me at this place.
M-E-A-T.
Yes. And he...
he I'm made Chris this girl up.
I forget, I like forget the name he used. But he said, he's like... He's like, I love Barbie so much, I even bought a purple Corvette. So that's what I will be driving.
Gosh.
A purple Corvette.
I'm a Barbie girl.
So we hung up, went over. We had made dates with at least 10 guys. Can anyone guess how many guys showed up?
12.
10 is the correct answer. Now, for bonus points, how many of those guys waited up to 2 hours to meet this girl?
10.
10.
8. 5.
5.
Oh.
Danny.
Oh, I am on fire.
It was interesting to see how long, and we were taking bets on which guy would drop out first.
That's a good game. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Socially awkward.
Be ever in your favor.
Yeah, shit. Hunger Games through and through. Only way we'd call them the horny games.
Socially.
Yeah.
Who loses socially, the first?
We didn't cost anyone their livelihood, Danny. But we did waste some desperate, horny guys' afternoon.
I am not surprised. I am not surprised at all.
Oh, so, but it gets better.
They were the first internet trolls.
Yep.
It gets better because after the last guy left, we went back to my place, jumped back on the line. All the guys were back on the line.
Of course they were.
And he went at it with his girl voice and apologized because her Corvette broke down.
Well, you know, that purple will really do it. So what happens when all of the parts inside and outside are made out of plastic?
We did get at least two guys to agree to a second opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
And they both showed up. And they both waited at least an hour.
Fishing with a flip phone.
No shit. Ass holes.
There's a special place in hell for people like you.
Yep.
I
get to at least blame it on the fact that I was a kid and didn't know any better. I was just being an asshole because I thought it was funny. You guys are some malicious... Maldictus assholes. That's all there's to it, bro.
Yes, but we were just taking advantage of lonely, sad, pathetic losers, much like ourselves.
So, Jim, how many times did you show up waiting for the purple Corvette?
None.
Both times. He was there both times.
You thought about it, though. thought about it.
What got him though is when we used an Asian accent. That's what sold him.
An old woman Asian accent.
Are you telling me? Are you telling me? Are you fucking telling me that an Asian Barbie, so like Asian, tall, big tits, waist, the whole thing, in a Corvette pulls up, your dick is not harder than mahogany. You're lying to yourself. And if you're a woman, your clit's hard. That's it. That's the truth.
That's fair. That's fair. That is a fair assessment.
Truth.
If she works at a deli counter,
dropping
and is selling you food,
all the harder.
See, James, all you bring the harder. You always bring her up, and I honestly think that you're just jealous because she had this. This
it's not a bad point.
Dude, straight up, I'll fucking admit, I'm jealous as shit.
Yeah, he was.
True. He wanted that extra pastrami.
No one ever flirted with me the way that woman flirted with you.
Yeah.
Oh, not even in the room life. With you.
I don't think a Japanese businessman would flirt with a purple Corvette the same way that this woman flirted with me. So
she might. For all you know, Jim, she had a purple Corvette. Did you ever watch her leave work? I mean, when you did, were you paying attention to the car? Or
when
just
you were
the
stalking
she
her, when you were hiding in the bushes outside the deli.
Thank you, James, for picking that up.
She was solely there for like an ego boost when I needed to like feel good about myself.
Yeah.
I'd go there and get a sandwich and a, you know, a little recharge.
Sandwich and a smile.
Yeah, they had to go back.
Especially at the place where we were working and the shit you had to do, you needed that boost constantly.
Then I had to go back to the radio station, dress up like Big Britney and film like 3 more music videos.
Outstanding.
Yeah. You know, Bozic froze my clothes.
I love this story.
So
that's refreshing.
So the one night where we were recording this big Britney thing, Marconi was just going crazy with it. And
why
so
did
he
love that so much?
Well, because it was me dressed as like a schoolgirl, but like, you know, really just terrifying and furry, and it was just not attractive. It was hilarious to him because it was humiliating for me. But he wanted to film a music video for, I think, Hit Me Baby One More Time or something like that. And we're going to put it up on his website or whatever. And so I was supposed to bring clothes to change into because I'm not going to dress like that and ride the fucking, you know, the bus. Then I could ride the 14 all the way through town and then, like, you know, go to the radio station dressed like, you know, the most disappointing strippergram you've ever seen.
Of fun on the bus, just looking at people. Hey, looking for a good time.
Hey, you might have run into shorty again.
Oh, if only. Oh man, Nancy. If that was the trick, I'd do it. I'd do it. But no, I had like a white, short sleeved like business like shirt, so I tied that off like as a midriff. And I had my a peasant skirt that my ex didn't wear anymore. It's like her fat girl skirt. I had shimmied that thing up onto my fat ass, and so that was my outfit. And so I had
because I know that shimmy.
I had this big red wig that had like these. Oh, it was crazy. I was decked out. I was looking good. And so we get to the point where, like, you know, we have a long break. So Marconi's like, "Why don't you go get changed?" And then, you know, we'll record it.
I'm tired of looking at you dressed like that.
Yeah. Well, no. I was dressed in regular clothes. I hadn't changed into my other clothes yet. So I'm like, okay, I'll go change. So I run out, and Bozic is still hanging out at the station for some reason. It's kind of late for him. And I'm a bullshit, and I tell him what I got to do. He's like, oh, man, that sucks. All right, well, I'm going to hit the bars. I'll see you later. I'm like, cool. So I go, I get changed, and then I go back in. I do the little video, and the end of the show comes, and I'm like, okay, finally, let me go put some pants on and feel like a man for a second. Go back. My clothes are gone. And I'm looking around, and there's nobody in the office. And I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I didn't want to tell Marconi because he would have ran with that forever. So I'm just playing it off. Like, he's like, why haven't you changed any, like, your clothes yet? I'm just like, I kind of like it. I don't know. It's kind of freeing. Like, the boys get to flop around down there and whatever. Like, I'll see you later. And so after he leaves, I am
fucking livid. I'm like, has anybody seen a pair of husky pants with some mysterious stains? Don't ask any fucking questions.
Some mysterious stains.
Has anybody got like the most like sad looking Carhartt jeans kind of shoved in a corner somewhere?
Yeah. That's my work pants, dude.
Nothing. Nobody. And I'm like, the last person I talked to was Bozick. I'm like, did fucking Bozick take my clothes home with him? And I was like, I was so pissed. And I didn't have his number in my phone. So I had to find somebody that had Bozick's number. At this point, it's now like, the show was done at 5 o'clock. It is now close to 7. And I'm still dressed like a hooker, like in, like where Popeye lived on that weird island. And so finally I get Bozick's number. I call him. It rings once, answers, and he is just in mid-cackle, laughing his fucking head off. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, feeling kind of chilly? And I'm like, no, I haven't decided to go home yet.
That's what I, like, because he just answered the phone and goes, do you want to play a game?
He should have. But I said something like, I don't want to, I didn't feel like taking the bus. He's like, I don't feel safe. Lady like you walking the streets. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Where are my clothes? He's just like, oh, you haven't found them yet. I'm like, no, I haven't found them yet. What do you think? I was calling to congratulate you? No, I am still dressed like a scary school teacher from a Tim Burton movie that they'll never get made. What the fuck is wrong with you? And he's just like, go to the break room. And I'm like, all right, go to the break room. He's like, okay, you see the two, like, coolers, the two free deep freezers? And I said, you son of a bitch. You just get one on the left. And I opened it up, and they've been, like, frozen solid. Like, just like a bike dropped it on the ground, and it didn't move. Like, just like, dink. And he's just like, ah. I'm like, I thought you took them with you. He's like, yeah, I thought about it. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm like, it isn't bad enough. I got to go through this shit. He's like, hey, man, you know, you're the one that's, you agreed to it. I'm like, well, yeah, but it's like, what are the way I should say no, get fired, and, you know. So, yeah. So I it was as sad as me getting dressed. So I go to the bathroom. I go to, like, the handicap stall, which was, like, it was, like, a suite in a hotel somewhere. Go to the handicapped room, and I'm like, I take off my skirt, and it's just, like, it's hard. And I'm like, just, I feel like a stripper that's just been, like, I'm sick of feeling sexy all day. I'm just tired. I'm over it. I'm done. Take my bra off. Fucking over this shit.
Oh, the bra coming off is the best part of the day.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I unbutton my shirt, you know, and I'm not making eye contact with myself in the mirror because I'm like, I don't want to see. I don't want to see. Take the wig off, right? Like, you know. And I'm like, okay, fine. Now I can get some dignity. I can put my clothes back on. I put my foot into the pants, and it was like liquid nitrogen. I'm like, what the fuck? How did it, like, this? It's super cooled. Like, something about the Carhartt material is, like, it's very rugged, but also it holds on the cold. Something fierce.
Did he put any water on it, like, and froze it, or just straight in the freezer?
No, that would be monstrous. No,
his own natural juices helped to freeze.
Well, I didn't think salt could freeze. I figured I would, like, it was like a natural coagulant to kind of keep my pants kind of moist and kind of. But what was the term that you used at the beginning?
Oh, dank heat.
Yeah, dank heat.
We did.
Sure, yeah, it was salt. Yeah,
there were some
nice
foul pranks played around that station.
Mostly on Big Jim.
Well,
had any pranks.
Yeah, because one that I remember happening that really kind of messed Jim up was when Fat Boy, he started losing a lot of weight, like, quickly. And that handicap stall that Jim mentioned, everyone loves
you assholes. You fucking assholes. I know what you're talking about now, you assholes.
So I think I've heard this story, yeah.
So Fat Boy used to hate going in after Jim. And apparently Jim had a certain time of day that he would go in. So Fat Boy, being the complete asshole that he is, went into the kitchen one day and grabbed every ketchup packet he could find. And went into
There were quite a few.
Yeah. Went into the toilet and just filled it with ketchup and toilet paper. and then walked out right around the time that Jim was coming to use it and was holding his stomach and just kind of looking pathetic.
Doing the poo-poo dance, but not the dance because that would make it worse.
So Jim went and used it. And the story goes, the story from Fat Boy goes that Jim came in really concerned to Fat Boy. Buddy, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people thought that Fat Boy had cancer because he was dropping weight quick.
Yeah.
Like, so there was a lot of concern and he just played it up. And Jim was the unfortunate...
Yeah, see, you can't play the unfortunate Jim card while you're cackling like a fucking mental patient.
Well, because the next Jim. Story Fuck I thought you. Of, the next prank that I thought of was between Savage and Marconi.
Oh, with the windscreen?
Yeah. So Marconi used to bring his own windscreen in to use on the mic. And one day he forgot it. And I think he and Savage were not clicking. So Savage took the windscreen into the bathroom and used it as, let's call it a Brita filter. And then put it back.
Yep.
And the look on Samantha's face is the look I had when I first heard about it.
Now, I was not made privy to this.
You guys are assholes.
That makes me sad. My heart hurts. Okay, my radio station never did that shit. And we were in the military. We really fuck with each other there.
If you guys did that shit, you'd be out on your ass.
The worst we did was, it wasn't even a prank. It was just for funsies. Everyone had a Nerf weapon in the office. So there was like a Nerf battle axe, a broadsword, a Nerf rapier, and some Nerf guns. And every now and then, like when it's really quiet in the office and everyone's working, someone would say, Nerf fight! And we would just shoot and beat the shit out of each other for like a minute and then go back to work.
That would have solved a lot of issues.
I love that.
It was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of issues. That place was volatile as fuck.
Well, yeah, we had a really good working place. I mean, we were genuine friends, and it was really great until, I mean, this military, there's a lot of rotation. You know, old people leave, new people come in, and then it just ruins the dynamic. But for a year and a half, we had fucking on-point people. I mean, one of the people I met there is still one of my absolute best friends to this day. So, you know.
Is it a hot black guy?
No, it is not. No, it's my friend Rob.
Hot English guy?
No, none of the hot guys. I love Rob, but it's not, no.
How many guys were you talking about, Samantha?
Look,
there was a lot of
hot. I make a lot of friends, okay?
Blank guys.
Friends now.
As your older pod brother.
Bookmarked all those posts. Right.
Hey,
Samantha,
I've
can we share the story? You, I think you and I shared this story a long time ago when we were just doing the podcasting.
Oh, wait, real quick, just if I can throw this in here because you're talking about the windscreen. Something else I wanted to mention: Court and Fatboy were notorious because they farted every time they would have to fart. They took my microphone and they would just point it towards their ass. They would fart and they put it back.
Oh yeah, we would come in. We would come into the booth and fart and leave on people.
Yeah, well, no, that's like not like in the room, but like directly.
No, I know what you're saying. The worst that we did.
Yeah. So I remember I
shake the stone building like there was an earthquake. Not exaggerating that at all.
That was a loud one.
Scared of herd of deer.
Quality content, Travis here.
Let me know.
Fuck. Reason.
Well, when I didn't understand why or what the purpose of a windscreen was, because when I got hired on, I didn't have any radio experience. So I ended up asking Marconi. I'm just like, so what's that thing there that you put on the end of the? He's like, oh, this is a windscreen. And I was just like, oh, okay. And he was talking about like, you know, it helps you know, if you pop your peas or whatever. It helps like sort of soften the sound. He's like, she's showing me like, you know, on a cool edit, showing the waves and how when you pop your peas, it makes the sound waves go all crazy and stuff. And it was nice. I'm just like, oh, okay. It probably helps with the smell too. And he's just like, yeah, okay. And he sort of laughed it up, but he didn't understand what I was talking about. I think we had to go back into a break or whatever. But later on, when I found out what they were doing, I was just like, oh, so windscreen isn't to make your microphone not smell like the inside of someone's rectum. It's to just help with popped peas and to make your voice sound more pleasant. Gotcha.
And also to filter out salts and other things from your urine.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take a can of gasoline in this fucking match, and I'm going to end my problems, you know, right the fuck now. So this is what was done to me, right?
Like, it's terrible.
What was my fault? I was concerned about Fat Boy. Ah, let's laugh at his empathy. You know, I'm being humiliated. Ah, let's freeze his clothes.
Wait, let me ask you, who was worse to you, Marconi or Court and Fat Boy?
Oh, Marconi. Well,
Marconi was a dick.
Marconi was a bag of issues. That is, it's easy to kind of put him off into one category, but I really got to know the man, and so it's, yeah, there's a lot going on inside that Doma has, or at least there was while I was working with him.
From my perspective, what I saw was that Court and Fat Boy targeted you so much out of love. They really liked you.
Yeah.
I mean, you were one of them, but for some reason you were also an easy mark for them.
Oh, well, I put my fucking chin out every fucking time because they were so good at eviscerating me. And so, like, I was just as much entertained as everybody else was listening to them just vent. Because they were, like, on the podcast specifically, they would just dump such vitriol, such just hatred.
Oh, yeah.
You know, upon me. And it was hilarious the way that they did it. Because, again, it was meant with love. And they didn't care about my feelings. So that helped them. That helped a lot with that too for them.
That reminds me of the comedian talking about. Leon shot me because he loved me. You know who was that? It was a whole bit about that's true love. You see that bullet wound? That's true love right there. That's what that I think of.
Run, Ronnie, run. Is that run, Ronnie, run?
I don't know. It's been long time since I've seen that. Anyway, go ahead, yeah. James.
Well. I think, Jim, you just became the newest target because
what am I not?
They were jealous. Well,
see, the thing is
clearly
when Bozick came in, because Bozick came in quite a ways before you came in, but when Bozick came in, the shit that they did to him was monumental.
Yeah.
They called Bozick one night from his office. Like, they broke into his office, called him on his phone on the air, and then Court was like, hey. And then he started making these weird sounds. He's like, you know what that is? And Bozick's like, I have no idea. It's like, those are my balls on your phone. They took pictures and posted them. Court had shoved his phone and other items from his desk in his pants.
Oh, my God.
You know, nowadays, I think that quantifies as sexual harassment.
Oh, there's no way we could get away. In this day and age, there's no way anyone – all it takes is one human resources person to get pissed. But, like – and there was a – at the time, there was a very much – there was an upstairs, downstairs sort of thing at the station.
Oh, yeah.
Because upstairs, it was like all the office people and you know – HR and stuff like that, but downstairs it was like this whole other world, and we were all very protective of the downstairs, so like none of the jokes or anything went, you know, upstairs.
James, the term you're looking for was Morlock. That's the term you're looking for.
We were Morlocks, yes.
Chuds, Morlocks, whatever.
But yeah, there's no way any of that stuff would be tolerated anywhere now.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Well, when
you guys are assholes.
Yeah.
When the what was it? The play school, playground, playhouse.
The playhouse. Yeah.
These fucking assholes. I had never heard of them before, and
Just from the moment they walked in, just destroyed the whole energy of that place.
Yeah, they built them their own custom fucking studio. They dumped so much money on these assholes. And their first day in the studio to record, it was like this big hype up and everything else. they told a bunch of homeless people that they were going to have a free pancake breakfast at the station. And so they told them to meet them down here at like 6 a.m. whenever the show went on. And they just let them wander around upstairs while people are showing up to work. They're like, who the fuck's the homeless guy, you know, going through the fridge? Like, what the fuck's going on there? This is what they thought was, you know, was entertaining. And I'm just like, fucking scumbags need to be stopped.
Again, another moment that Bozick just shined. So a fan of someone at the station, I forget who, made a giant sword that looked like Cloud Sword from one of the Final Fantasies, that great big fucking broadsword.
The Buster mm-hmm. Sword.
Yeah. Made that for her. Bozick got a hold of it, and Bozick's a big guy.
Made that for who?
I think he made it for Kristen Bowie.
Okay.
So Bozick's walking around just shouldering the sword, and he walked in front of the Playhouse studio. And I was running the show at the time. This was the best day because everyone in that studio started panicking. Because none of them knew who Bozick was.
Oh, beautiful.
Big guy with this God Crusher sword.
This fucking psycho-looking ex-con motherfucker.
Back and forth, glaring into the office. And they're on the air going, there's a bald guy walking around with a sword. He looks like he could behead all of us.
It looks like Triangle Pyramid Head took the helmet off and is now outside the studio looking to skin us alive.
And Bozick's just got that shit-eating grin that he always had when he was up to something.
Mm.
God, I missed that bald bastard. Son of a bitch.
Same.
Yeah, it was it's interesting to see how, and that was, God, that was forever ago.
Yeah.
Just to see how the climate in radio has changed.
Well, again, I'm the was it the McGinley? The
use your words there, Jim.
What's his name? McGinley from Happy Days? Yeah. The Ted McGinley. Yeah, I show up, shit gets canceled.
God damn it.
Yep. You guys seem to be the only thing that's been impervious to my powers. I'm trying to figure out what the issue is. I'll bring you down. I'll bring you down somehow. Don't worry. I'll figure out a way.
I have faith in you, buddy. I have faith.
Thank you. Thank you. See, that's called positive reinforcement, James. Fucking look it up.
I want to, Travis, do you have any stories? The only thing Danny said is you're an asshole. Poor Travis is just like, I don't know
Travis
what's happening.
Has got stories because I know the team he worked with when he got into radio.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, I think we all, anybody that was in radio and in rock radio on an entertainment-based show, all our stories are similar. It's like I was involved with, I would get to work so early being the producer that I'd be there before the host got there. And so I'd hang out with the overnight guy. And one night we solicited for an ambulance crew to show up, and they did. And so as the host got to work, we had an ambulance open and empty, lights outside, and they came down the hall, and I was staged at the door, panicked, and then we ran down the hall, and they were about to zap the overnight guy, which was awesome. Like I said, there are so many of those things. The only thing that I have, I pissed off Craig the Dogface Boy. Really
we
bad,
all did that
unintentionally by so I was his producer for 2 weeks. Porkchop had got blown out because of indiscretions in the studio. Yeah,
did not know that. And,
saucy.
Yeah, and he was gone for a while, and they were looking for a new producer. And my roommate, who was also one of the former hosts of the show that I produced, he was doing nights. And so he went to Dave Nomi and went, hey, I got somebody who could come in and produce Craig. It's going to be different than Pork, but it's, you know, maybe it's that next step for Craig's show. So they brought me in, and I was not quite the stunt boy at this point in my career that I had been. I was a little past it, and Craig kind of still wanted total, you know,
monkey boy
to the host, and you're, you know, whatever I say, you go do, and I'm like, yeah, not so
much. He wanted
a
fat guy to run naked across the Hawthorne Bridge.
Yeah, and that wasn't going to happen. So we had a porn star coming in, and I cannot for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but I will tell you,
Tits McGee.
It was Craig's porn star. It was the one that he owned all the tapes. He this was his porn star.
He's a fan. Oh.
Yeah. And
still real to me.
He was like a giddy kid that she was showing up. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we're doing the obligatory porn star thing on an afternoon show on a rock station. Sweet. I got this. So we did the fake contest where we read her trivia questions, and every wrong answer, she takes her clothes off. And yeah, so we're going through all that. And then she surprises us, and she goes, I've got a game for you guys. We're like, oh, okay.
Quick,
so she pulls out.
It's called just the tip.
Pulls out a Reese's, right? And she points to me and she says, come here. And I'm like, okay. Oh. And she places the Reese's in my mouth, half in, half out. And proceeds to eat the entire Reese's from my mouth.
Like
which
a baby
awesome
bird.
Which is unexpected at the time. And hopefully...
not laced with STDs.
I was hoping that the peanut butter in Reese's is antimicrobial.
Sure.
Yeah. And
you can do.
Can
all
you get herpes from peanut butter?
Once I'm finished, I turn and... fucking Craig is just daggers at me. Just how fucking dare you newbie, and so she goes over and she places the other Reese's in his waistband and proceeds to eat the Reese's out of his waistband, and he's still livid. And,
you got the mouth candy. I wanted the mouth candy.
That's exactly it.
Jesus.
And he tried to have the little talk with me after the show, Reese's. And I'm like, dude, I could take you or leave you. Here's what I offer, whatever. If you want me on the show, fine. If you don't, fine. It's your gig. I don't give a shit. Well, just don't let it happen again. Okay, done. Because I had planned the whole thing.
Had so much control over what a porn star wanted to do.
First of all, I didn't know that Peter North was going to do that, okay? That was totally his thing. I don't understand why you got so fucking pissy.
There was a guy named Norm Jeremy, or it was his nickname was Roman, The Hedge. It was like Harmony. The Hedge of the Hog something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a little was weird with the mustache on mustache contact, but I just went with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, and then, yeah, I think I lasted another 3 days as his producer at that point. But yeah, I mean, all the same stuff happened. It's just the pranks were different. Our friends were different, but you're right. We can't get away with any of that shit anymore.
Well, what was funny, Travis, what you and I started to do, and I think we would have done a lot more of if the Misfits had continued on, is we were our own stunt guys, you know? I think the whole point is because most shows like what – most of the shows, like what we would have probably been classified in, there was the hosts, and then there was the guy that we make go out and do stuff. But we kind of turned that on its head and said, no, we're the idiots here.
But I think we kind of had to, because that's the nature of comedy right now. You used to be able to pick a victim outside of your universe and rail on them mercilessly. And an audience would respond. And now, if you pick a victim outside your circle, you're opening yourself up for litigation.
Yep.
And
well, honestly, you
know, at least a public apology. And so the fact that we made each other the victims of our own comedy, I mean, that almost was just about survival at that point.
It's well, the only in comedy all honesty, I think do. It was funnier, too, because it was like we're not making some poor intern do stupid stuff that we wouldn't do. You know, it's almost like, yeah. Hey, we're going to test this out, make sure it's safe, so then you can do it. We can, oh, no, it's not safe. Nope. You know?
Yeah.
I think if we had had a third person, because we had talked about potentially adding a third, and that third person would have been the smart one.
Yeah, there's no way we would have brought on a stunt person, like a subordinate. We would have brought in somebody who was a superior in the mix of the comedy.
Well, and especially the person we were talking about.
Well, and I mean, in the case of the person we were talking about, she also would have had the Robin Quivers effect. That anytime that we went too far, she could have gone, oh, you guys, you've gone too far. That's not, and
just
we go,
pull
oh,
it back.
Okay, you're
well,
right.
And the beauty was with that person too, is she would have egged us on to do whatever stupid thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I think you guys should try that. Wait, are you sure it's safe? Oh yeah, you guys will be fine. You know,
what was the Spanish she taught us?
I'm pretty sure it would have got our butts kicked.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just go up to the biggest guy you can find, say that, you'll have a new friend.
How much of the pants?
You guys, I mean, the radio that we were able to do at the time that we were able to do it, I just don't see it coming back. And I don't, you know, I can say that I can look back and 95% of the shit we did, I absolutely adore and I wouldn't change a thing. And there's about that 5% now with time and distance and growth and, you know, a little that you go, oh, that was a little rapey, or that was a little racisty, or that was.
But see, that's the thing about us.
Maybe we don't do that one again.
We were very hyper aware of the stuff we were doing at the time, too. And I think with time, we would have naturally gone away from that because we were so aware of how it would have been perceived. You know?
Are you talking about you and I?
Yeah, you and I.
Look at the arguments we used to have over just certain little throwaway lines like savory barbecue.
Oh, yeah. We went back and forth on that for a couple of hours.
Yeah. And Darth Chocolate, which in this cancel culture, there's part of me that wants to pull both of those off of YouTube right now because –
we'd have to have more subscribers to really worry about that.
I was going to say, you have to have millions of subscribers for it to matter.
Yeah, I know.
But no, this cancel culture shit is just, it's really stupid, and it's hit this, peak that, we're going to...
millions because of those, and most of them will be...
But the dark...
You guys are breaking up really badly.
Yeah.
Danny's phone sucks. They're frozen.
Yeah, they froze.
They're stuck
awkward way, too.
While you guys get a chance, check our Facebook and see the picture of Travis and Danny.
Welcome. We'd like to talk to you about communism and Cuba. Come, bring your lover. It is okay.
Come visit Mother Russia. It's not so bad, eh?
Thought this was
Samantha,
to be Cuba.
Right, I think we are kind of peeking on this canceled culture thing. I understand what it's about and everything, but it's like...
Well, it's gotten to a point of ridiculousness where you can't say... Oh, they dropped. Oh, shit. Oh, they'll be back.
Danny's phone died.
Yeah, it's fine. So we don't need him.
They'll be back.
Just kidding. Yeah, it's fine. whatever.
They turned into James.
But it has hit this horrid peak where it's just every single thing you say and do is, I mean, we thought the PC bros were bad. Cancel culture is so much worse than that. I will take a PC douchebag any day. Like, come on. But hi guys.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Right now we're going to be in the pendulum.
Okay. What did you do?
You guys froze and dropped.
Yeah, you froze.
Yeah, it was all on you.
But right now.
I used a word that Zoom doesn't let you use, and they sent us to Zoom jail for.
Well, don't do
they
it again.
They canceled you. Zoom canceled you. But right now, we're hit, like, it's that pendulum effect, just like with anything, with politics, with anything. Like, you have this nice little center, and then it swings this way, and then everyone's angry about it, and then it's going to overcorrect and go. I feel like we're in the overcorrection from the non-PC like comedy. So it's just going to get worse until it comes back to center.
Yeah. It's just, it's going to splinter. Mm-hmm. Whenever stuff like specifically comedy, has been censored, there have always been those like Lenny Bruce that are willing to risk the heat and everything else because they feel it's necessary for them to do so. I have a very interesting story. I don't know how much more time do we have?
It's up to you. How much more time do you want?
I just had a question again.
That's us.
I got a story. You know, I'll save it for next time. We'll keep this theme going for next week.
Will you guys make up your mind if you want to be in the show or not?
We're back.
No, I'm good, actually. I don't need to be here yet. I just am because my iPod apparently is okay with that for right this fucking second. Just leave it. We won't be on for too much longer, I don't think. As our content tends to run out closer to 6 o'clock, we get. What?
Travis. And we're done.
Hey, Alex. That's a good show.
Grinds to a halt.
I would
Once again, Danny just brings us to a dead stop.
That's what it is.
We have such good momentum going, Danny.
I want to talk about prostate cancer if I could for a couple minutes.
I'd like to take this second
I know we're talking about comedy and funny people and cancel culture, but I just have to talk about myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I can listen to that.
Danny, I love you. I'm just teasing.
Hey, anytime Samantha talks about herself, it gets really sexy.
No, it's really Brick Rattler.
The shit out of it.
Yeah, you caught that. Yes. I changed that like 20 minutes ago.
Brick Rattler.
Cool. Unbelievable.
Well, now that this has gotten awkward.
Like you do.
That's what happened.
This is like that part. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have already experienced this playing things when you go away, or if you go on a business trip or something. And it's usually like the second or the last night that you're at the hotel, and you've got the Taiwanese prostitute with you, and you've already paid them, and you've already had the sex and everything else, but their Uber isn't there yet, and so you kind of got to make the weird kind of. You know, so how about that local sports team or whatever? While you're waiting, you just want them to go. So we are that prostitute that is waiting to go. Our Uber just pulled up. Thank you so much.
Like, I really want you to go, but I don't want to sound like a dick about it.
Wait. You guys let your Taiwanese prostitutes go?
Yes. Well, no, James, not everyone can keep them in the trunk, and not everyone has a backyard to bury them in, okay?
I couldn't afford to feed mine anymore. I had to let her go.
Oh, it was a her. Interesting. Little insight into Brick Rattler's life. She likes the ladies.
Only the prostitute ladies.
Well, duh. I mean,
Taiwanese prostitute ladies. Thank you.
That
very
is
specific.
That's my niche. That's my niche.
Only they know how to please a woman.
Yeah?
I mean,
Duh.
I was going to take it further, but, you know.
Oh, please do.
I don't want to get us canceled.
canceled on a podcast that has no sponsorship.
And only one listener.
Maybe we can get like a lovehoney.com sponsorship if we talk enough about sex.
No, it'll be on the front of TMZ. It'll be like, you know, the Taiwanese prostitute community comes out of the slander lawsuit.
Bullshit.
Hey, we get famous, whatever.
Pacific Northwest podcast.
I guess this is as good a time as any to announce that we're changing our name from Not Another Podcast to Four Guys and a Chick Talk About Sex.
Yes.
Okay.
Finally, my dreams have come true.
A subsidiary of Tap Dance and Tony's Taiwanese Tots and Tiaras.
Tiny Tats. Tap Dance and Tony's Taiwanese Tiny Tats.
Could you give us that name again, Tim? Because Danny's fucked it up already.
Only under subpoena.
Tap Dancing Tony's Taiwanese Tots and Tiaras.
Outstanding. There's your name of the episode.
It's run by Dancing Dan.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Formerly of Dancing Dan's Meats and Tans.
Damn right.
It sounds like a menstruata brothel.
A men's brothel?
Have you ever had pad thai?
All right, let's pull the plug.
Yeah, fuck this noise. I'm out. Eat shit.
See you guys.
Bye, guys. You're awful.
Bye.
Bye. Say bye, Travis.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.